Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices. I am your host today, Thea Green, AUSA Family Readiness Program Manager. It is my pleasure to have as our guest today, Debbie Nichols, founder, CEO of Military Children's Collaborative Group. Welcome, Debbie. We're honored to have you on our podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Debbie, you and my director, Patty Barron, met by phone almost a year ago. And at that time, you told her how you got involved with the military children's community. It's quite a story. Can you share this with our audience?
I'd be glad to. Our daughter was in the military for 9 years, and her career did not impact us until 2008. She became a single parent, and we became the guardians in her military family care plan. A few months later, our daughter received orders to deploy to Afghanistan. My husband, Alan, and I were working empty nesters. We became the guardians to our daughter's two children. Their names are Ivy and Bailey, and they were ages 6 and 10. We had less than 30 days to prepare. Our granddaughters had only visited us once a year when they were on vacation. We moved the children out of state and into our home in California. Alan and I were unfamiliar with military life. We did not live close to a military base, and we had no support. We enrolled the children into school where their mother had attended. Our granddaughters were very excited. The school had never had military-connected children enrolled in school. They were unfamiliar of the needs and how to support the children. However, I was lucky. The teachers wanted to support the children. They kept me informed when my granddaughters had a bad day. When our daughter returned from her deployment, I thought I could just hand over the children like babysitting. I learned quickly that our daughter had changed, needed time to adjust back into a role of being a mother again. My granddaughters had to adjust having their mother around. I had to adjust releasing my role of feeling responsible for my granddaughters. We learned the whole family is impacted in a deployment, and it takes time to adjust. After my daughter returned to her home, I could not let go of what I had experienced. I thought if I wrote my story down for my family, I could forget about it. That did not happen. This changed my life. I shared what I wrote with, with my husband, and he said I needed to do something with our story, possibly help others. So I self-published a book called Deployed Grandparents Being Parents, and I contacted Yellow Ribbon Events. They welcomed me to share my story. And at their events, I created a to-do list for caregivers and guardians, sharing tips of what I learned. I gave out my books and my to-do list to military families. The families thanked me, and that is when I knew I needed to help other military families. So I created a blog site called Grandparents Being Parents. I learned in 2008 there were 2 million military children that experienced a deployment, and 250,000 children went to guardians, just like my grandchildren. Then a couple years later, my granddaughters wanted to help. Together, we wrote their book called Deployed Kids, How We Survived Our Mom's Deployment, sharing their side of the story living with their grandparents during their mother's deployment. My granddaughters joined me at a Yellow Ribbon event, and together we shared what helped us, what we did during our daughter's deployment with military families about to face deployment or experiencing deployment. Then I felt I had to do more. I was invited to the White House Faith-Based Community Leaders Briefing representing military families. I spoke to the U.S. Education and learned why our schools were unaware of the needs. Most schools did not have a military student identifier. I started contacting government officials and agencies and contacted the California Orange County Department of Education on the needs of military children, encouraging them to modify their student forms to include a military student identifier to help support and become aware of the needs to better understand when a child experiences a home front change. Today, the federal government is now mandating a military student identifier on school forms. I believe military children should be acknowledged for their silent service. In 2012, I formed a nonprofit called Military Children's Collaborative Group to identify the gaps. We focused on advocating, educating, outreaching, and offering support. We created resources for schools, a webinar for educators, and for them to better understand the needs of the children. We created called Salute Our Kids Toolkit, a program where a principal can create a school assembly for April, the month of the military child, to acknowledge and thank a military child for their silent service to our country. In the toolkit, there's a principal speech for those that are unfamiliar with military life, a recognition certificate you can personalize with the child's name and present to the child. My granddaughters helped create our military children's courage coin. It's similar to a military challenge coin. The coin is presented to a child for going beyond the call of duty or outstanding achievement. Coins are presented at special events and school recognition. We recommended the coin to be presented by someone in authority in a military secret handshake.
Debbie, it's amazing that while you were taking care of your granddaughters, you learned so much. What is the one thing you would make sure any grandparent or caregiver of a military child whose parent is on deployment should know?
Military children are taught not to complain and suck it up when times are tough. I believe it's important for a child to feel that they can share their feelings with their parent or guardian, you know, whoever's taking care of them during the deployment. The child will miss their parent and feel very alone at times. Adults should be honest and share their feelings too. One day, my granddaughter was very upset and was acting out, and I asked what was wrong. And she told me she'd missed her mom, and she began to cry. I told her I missed her too. She's my daughter, and I loved her so much. We hugged, and we cried together. I reinforced with my granddaughters that we were in this together, that we could get through it. And I told my granddaughter to think about what kind of party we could have when her mom returned. I believe we need to have a goal when you're in a challenging time. And you just have to have faith.
I agree. I think it's great that you were able to share your feelings with your granddaughter. So out of your experience, you became involved with the Department of Defense. How did that come about, and what was the project you worked on?
I was invited to the state of California Governor Jerry Brown's Interagency Council, and I became a delegate for the state of California, the SAMHSA Policy Implementation Symposium, where I represented military families regarding policies needed to better support our military in California.
And that leads me to ask about the Teens App. How is it going? And are military teens utilizing this resource?
Yeah, MilTeen Chat has been a really exciting initiative. It's great working with military teens with the creation, the development, and the distribution of the app. Military teens are accessing support resources and reading articles that address their own unique challenges, such as moving, deployment, transition, separation, peer-to-peer, families, teachers. Teens can connect with other like-minded military teens, and they can support one another. Very soon, we'll be releasing the next second version of the app, where the teen app user will become a virtual character in a novel, where the user will learn to make better decisions.
Wow, that's awesome. So what would you say is the most surprising thing you've learned from the users?
Military teens are so proud of their parents' military service. They really want to support their parent and guardian and their siblings. They want to help other military teens facing the same challenges that they've experienced. And they just want to give back.
So Debbie, thank you for being our guest today. And in this time we have left, how can parents and teens access the app? And are there any special restrictions or login instructions?
Sure. The Mil Teen Chat app is free to military connected teens ages 13 to 17 years old. And that's the age group. The teen requests the app by going to the website, www.milteenchat. It's MilteenChat.com, where they'll request the app. Parental permission is required due to their age, and there's instructions in there. The app is monitored 24/7. No adults are allowed on the app. The app is safe and has a secured network and no tracking. Protection features are built into the app. It will not post negative language, emojis, or sex texting. If an at-risk word is used, it will not post. A message will inform the user it will not post and why. And at the same time, the user's parent is notified, offering an 800 DOD support number.
Thank you again for being our guest today, Debbie. It's been a pleasure talking with you. So we've come to the end of our podcast episode. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked here for all Army Matters and for next week's episode featuring Army Thought Leaders. I'm Thea Green with Family Voices, Family Strong, Army Strong.